Okay, good evening and welcome once again to our new series of podcasts, ApulianExperience.com, Italy 2020-2021. I'd like to say that it's been a pleasure doing these so far. And if you've been listening and enjoying the series, please let us know via the comments box on the screen. And also be sure to tell your friends about it. If you have any questions about previous episodes, you can also get in touch in the same way. And don't forget to take a look at our website on www.apulianexperience.com, where you can find details and how to book and more in-depth information about the tours and experiences that we can provide for you as and when you come to visit us. Now, the last time we met, Emilio and myself, we spoke very enthusiastically about the wines of our region. And it's a subject about which we're all very, very passionate. Emilio even has an official qualification to prove that he drinks way too much wine. He's a sommelier. Anyway, as everyone knows, all that alcohol needs to be soaked up by something. And that something is the subject of today's episode, pasta, particularly the pasta shapes and the sauces that are traditional to Puglia. In restaurants and homes all over Italy, once the antipasti, the starter dish, is finished, the first course is served. That first course is known as the primo piatto, and it's always a pasta dish. Emilio, hi.
Hi, welcome to everybody. It's really a pleasure to stay again with you.
Yeah, it's nice to be back again. This is becoming a little bit like a full-time job, but it's the best job I can think of. Emilio, tell me, let's start talking about pasta. I've noticed since I've been here for a good few years now, there are two main shapes of pasta that are served almost everywhere here in Puglia. But surprisingly, when I lived in the UK, I had never seen these shapes before. I was obviously familiar with spaghetti and penne and tagliatelle and these world popular varieties. But like I said, here in Puglia, the two most popular shapes that I see, without exception, every traditional local restaurant serves are orecchietti and macaroni. You can have them just orecchietti with the sauce or just macaroni with the sauce. And sometimes you can even have the two shapes mixed together on the same plate. Now, I thought that that was against the law, mixing two different shapes on one plate. What's the story with these two?
You know, you are completely right, because if I have to think about my region, if I have to think about the Puglia, I have just to think about orecchiette. Orecchiette is the most traditional shape of pasta. And if I think about orecchiette, I remember when I was 4 or 5 years old, and I was on the side of my grandma Elvira, just, looking how, with the passion, she made orecchiette for us. And I can tell you that the shape is different, because since it is an handmade pasta, and, you can't have exactly the same shape one for all the pasta. And sometimes it can be open. In this case, we have orecchiette, or sometimes we have closed. It means that we can have maritati or macaroni, you can call it in different way. But it is the same, recipe, and it is the same method how to make the pasta. It is made by hand, both of them. And I can tell you that there was a tradition when my grandma made orecchiette, that there were all the less or more the same size of orecchiette, but one of them was bigger than the other, but 5 times bigger than the other. Who found this big orecchiette in his plate had to wash all the dishes at the end of the meal. This was the tradition at home.
Ah, okay, so now I understand. So the orecchietti and maritati are the same basic shape of pasta. The only difference is that the maritati is closed, kind of rolled up into a roll, and the orecchietti is open. So by law, you're not mixing two different types of pasta. So we can get away with that.
Of course, this is correct. And I want to tell you that we never made the same orecchietta of our grandma. We tried several times, but unfortunately we can't do. Because when she passed the recipe to me and to my mom, it was written to use, for example, 3 cups of water, 2 cups of flour, but unfortunately the grandma cup broken. Now we don't know what to do. We don't know the quantity because it was a specific cup. We don't know the real quantity of the ingredients to make pasta. That's the problem.
One of the main most exciting things about visiting foreign countries is food and the different types of food that you will be eating when you're on your holiday. Now, this is particularly true of Italy, obviously, because Italy is known throughout the world for its classic Italian produce and food, and life here obviously revolves around the meals that people eat. But if you suffer from any kind of food intolerance, which seems to be more and more common these days, particularly in the UK and America, where people need a gluten-free diet or are celiacs, it can really take the edge or spoil the enjoyment of your holiday, where you have to be constantly checking the ingredients of the food that you're eating. But this is the beauty of coming to Apulia. When you come to visit us, if you suffer from a gluten intolerance or from celiac or any other such kind of related intolerances, you can come here and you can eat all the pasta you want, because all of the pasta that's made in Puglia, well, not all of it, but the majority of it, is made using a very specific type of wheat, which Amelia will give us some more information on and the name of it. But this wheat, when it grows in the field, it's naturally very, very low in gluten. Its percentage is considerably lower than wheats from around the rest of the world. And as a result, the pastas and sometimes the pizza bases that are made using this specific flour that's made from this specific wheat is very low in gluten. Now, before you all come here and die, I just need Amelia to confirm that what I've told you is correct. Amelia, is that correct?
Yes, of course, this is correct. I can tell you that there is a huge quantity of different kind of pasta here. But the best producers, the best pasta producers, they use a really high quality of variety of wheat grain. I can tell you that here in particular we have 2 very low in gluten that there are really healthy. The first is a Senatore Cappelli variety of wheat grain that was cultivated from the 1915, less or more. And originally it came from the north of Africa. And then we have another quality that is not really common to find, but in my opinion is the best one. This variety of wheat grain is called Minorca, like, you know, the island Minorca. And they can make really, really, really high quality of pasta using such a kind of using the flour from this variety of wheat grain. And of course, for our health, for intolerance, for allergy, for people that they have problem when they hit high quantity of gluten, this can be the best option if you come in Puglia, of course.
Okay, so the other thing I've noticed, and I think it's just natural that if you go to a decent restaurant or trattoria and order a plate of pasta, unlike historically when you eat a bowl of spaghetti or whatever it is you eat, Here in Puglia, when you have a nice bowl, and it normally forms the second serving of a meal, if you like, and we'll explain this to you a little later in this episode. But I've noticed, Emilio, that here I can eat a pretty big bowl of orecchiette with whatever sauce, and at the end of it, I don't feel like I'm full up and can't eat any more. It just kind of prepares my stomach for the next course. Is that maybe because of the lightness of the flour that?
It depends also because the pasta is accompanied by fresh ingredients. Because we are full of fresh ingredients that they are really, really, really light as well. It means that the pasta is light because it is gluten, not gluten free, but there is a very low percentage of gluten in our pasta. But also the ingredients are fresh and light as well. This is the reason why you don't feel really, really, really heavy when you finish to eat your pasta, your plate of pasta.
Well, I understand what you're telling me there. However, it led to a little bit of frustration for me. I remember back to the first year that I was living here in Puglia, in New York. It was we'd arrived kind of in the middle of the year. And I think, remembering back, it was around November, maybe end of October, early November. We went to a restaurant, and I ordered, I figured I'd be like the locals, I ordered a plate for my primi of orecchietti con cime di rape, which is the owner of the restaurant recommended to me that would probably be the best pasta dish that I could eat at the time. So, wanting to believe him, I ordered a beautiful plate of orecchiette with cime di rape, which is the type of sauce that the pasta came in. And it was delicious. We had a fantastic meal. I can't remember the name of the restaurant now, but we both, myself and my wife, had a fabulous meal there. Taking the advice of the chef who advised us what we should order. In fact, we enjoyed the pasta dish so much. We went back quite a few months later, it was in April, I think, but the Christmas had come and gone, and it was my birthday, I remember. So we went back to the same restaurant because I was so excited about this the last time I'd been there. So we walked in, and I asked the chef again. I said, it was so good last time, can I have another bowl of this orecchietta with cime di rape, please? And he looked at me and kind of laughed and looked at the kitchen, and he said, no, you can't have cime di rape now. And I said, well, why? I was thinking to myself, maybe he's a good chef, but not as organized as he might be. And I was quite disappointed that I couldn't get cime di rape. So I skipped my premium in that case and went straight on to the secondo, feeling that I'd missed out a little bit. Is that normal for restaurants here to be so disorganized? Emilio, tell me.
I can tell you that the chef was a wonderful chef, really, really, really attentive of the season where you were. Because I want to explain you something, Gauri.
Okay.
We have to forget that we can have everything all the year round. There is a season for each ingredient. There is a season for each vegetable. For example, cime di rape, that if I'm not mistaking the right translation in English is turnip tops.
Yeah.
Turnip tops, yeah. Right? You can find fresh only in winter time. It means from November, when you came till March. And of course, since in our restaurants they use fresh ingredients, not frozen, you could find first time. Then when you came back, you ask it again, and the chef of course told you, no, this is not the time, this is not the right period in order to have a nice plate of pasta. And he told you no. Because it is important to understand that here in Puglia we can find, for example, different kind of vegetable depending on the season. For example, during winter you can have a very nice pasta, or a chietti, spaghetti, whatever you want, with for sure artichokes, with the cime di rape as well, cauliflower, of course, and maybe also with
cicoria. I have seen chicory on
our bed. Wonderful wild chicory. That is really nice. Or our broccoli as well. It is the winter time. During summer, it is different because from May till October, it is really nice to have a pasta with aubergine, zucchini, bell pepper as well, all such kind of different vegetables. And depending on the season, our menus at the restaurant, they are completely different.
Emilio, I mentioned earlier on in this episode that pasta forms the primo part of an authentic Italian meal. Famously, these meals can go on for hours and hours. Could you, first of all, outline or explain the structure of a typical Pugliese dinner or lunch? So people need to understand the concept of an antipasto, antipasti, and then a primo, and a secondo, and contorni, etc., because it's unique to Italy, and it's important in this part of the world as well. So I'd like you to try and explain to people how they would go about choosing a nice meal if they were in a restaurant and the structure of it, and then explain also why it is so important to Italian culture to have these courses and a big family lunch, etc.
Okay, you know, here in Puglia, in the south of Italy as well, we have a classic structure of a meal. And of course we start with the antipasto, but you should be really attentive if at the end of the word there is an O or an I. Because if it is written on a menu antipasti, it can be a problem. Because, for example, where there is a selection of antipasti, you can have you can have 10, 15 different kinds of dishes.
Wow.
10 different kinds of vegetables. For example, one of the best is broad beans puree, our fave puree. It is one of our traditions. And it is not easy to continue. We can, and we do. But for foreign guests, it's not really easy to continue after 10-15 different kind of starters or appetizers. Okay, this is the first step of our menu. The second is, of course, primo piatto. Primo piatto, of course, is pasta for us. It can be a soup or something really light. It should be a huge plate of pasta, of course. And pasta can be different kind of pasta. We have more than maybe 20 different shape of pasta and soap as well and ingredients. And then we have the secondi. And the secondi can be, in this case, or some meat or some fish. For example, we don't have game here in Puglia. We have traditional meat, for example, chicken or maybe some beef or pork as well. And fish, of course, because we have fresh fish every day with our fishermen. And of course, why not side dish as well? Because in order to finish our meal. At the end, the dessert is also not an option, but of course, it is a must at the end of our meal. This is the traditional structure of the Apulian meal for us.
Important. I have tried valiantly whenever I eat out to attempt all courses of a meal, because it feels like I'm wimping out if I don't at least attempt the, like Emilio said, antipasti and antipasto. Is a very important definition to make, because, like Emilio explained, the antipasti is the plural of antipasto. So it's always nice to try, you know, very different little tasters and of whatever's special at the moment. So an antipasto is generally better than an antipasti if you're in a specific speciality restaurant. And then there was the primo that Emilio explained, the pasta dish, but followed by the secondo plate, which it can be a piece of meat or a piece of fish, but unless you specify something extra, that's what you will get served. You will get a lump of meat on a plate, which will be delicious, or you'll get a fish on a plate. It's always nicer to have something with that. And on an Italian menu, and on a Pugliese menu, there will be a section on the card or on the blackboard or on the menu that you're given, labeled contorni, C-O-N-T-O-R-N-I. Contorni is what we would refer to as side dishes. And it could be a list of maybe grilled vegetables or a salad or some chips or something that would accompany the meat or the fish. So remember to order that as well, just to make your meal complete. And obviously when you've had that, you get your dolce, which is normally the special of the house. It can be a choice between some ice cream or some cake or some fresh fruit. Before you have your coffee and a digestivo, obviously follows right at the end as well. Those extras we're going to cover in much more detail in later episodes. We'll talk to you a lot more about primi and secondi, not primi, about secondi and dolce and ice cream. Right now we're concentrating on pasta. So you know now what you're doing when you go into a restaurant. You'll get the right idea, and you'll know what to order. And it'll be a wonderful experience for you. So Emilio, I love it. All this information is going to be very useful to help our visitors get the most and get more out of their holiday and their visit here. What we've spoken about so far has been wonderful news. In my opinion, and tell me if you agree with me, there's so much the rest of the world could learn from this attitude, this enjoyment of good food and natural seasonal products, the social and respectful family aspect, and the way you have friends and family around for a meal where the food isn't rushed and the conversation flows, the wine flows, and everybody seems to have a smile on their face and everybody's trying to talk louder than everybody else. But the roots of this tradition kind of all point to one head figure, the head of the family, the mama or the nonna. Can you explain the mama's or the nonna's importance to the family with regards to family meals and lunchtime gatherings?
A meal, the food as well, is something ritual. It's not just, that we stay all together to eat. It's a rite.
Yeah, a ritual.
Ritual. Yes, right.
I understand.
And you know, during the week is a little bit different because we travel or we work, and then we don't have too much time to eat. We can have, for example, 1 hour for lunch, no more. But I think the best situation that we can find with our family, it is during Sunday. During Sunday, we know with 1 week in advance that we have to go to our grandma, and she prepared a lunch for all the family. We can stay 30, 40 relatives all together sitting on a table. She start to cook on Friday. Yeah, usually to be ready for Sunday. And this is something magic for us because, we stay all together, and it is really, really, really nice to share all the things happen during the week with our relatives. What is not easy to manage during this day is that, for example, the main part of the meal is prepared by our grandma, that she can keep all the secrets about the ingredients and the preparation. But of course, each attenders, each family has also to provide, to bring some extra food. And you can imagine that there is a huge selection of different food to try. And the problem is that if, for example, you are full and you don't want to try a nice meat prepared by one of our uncle, for example, he can be offended by you if you don't try. And it's not easy to finish to eat everything. We can stay seated, for example, from 1 p.m. till 6 p.m., just eating, chatting, talking, just kidding one each other.
I think this tradition of family eating together is something we need to all get back to around the world. Without sounding too preachy, it's a beautiful concept. That is, of course, if you get on with every member of your family and your old friends. But maybe meeting once a week keeps things on an even keel. So that's a wonderful story. Emilio, I'm aware that a few years ago, I'm not sure exactly when, but the people of Ostuni that I meet, they rave about a trattoria that once existed that I believe you ran in Ostuni. It was your little food empire. Do you have any stories that you can tell us relating to pasta, as this episode was meant to be about pasta? Do you have anything you could tell us that would stick in our memories or we could find quite amusing?
Yes, it was 2012 and the name of the trattoria was Allusen West. We will write down the translation in our box.
Yeah, I think you need to, because I have no idea what that means. Allusen West.
Allusen West.
Okay, we'll explain later.
And I remember many different things happen about pasta, and but one is really, really funny. I think there was a guest that he came at the restaurant really early for us because it was 11:30. I just opened the restaurant. In Puglia, we used to have lunch at 1:30, 2 o'clock, 2 p.m. But this guest was knocking the door at 11:30.
He wasn't an Italian then.
He wasn't an Italian, of course. And he asked me a plate of spaghetti with our traditional local mussels. And this is a really nice, course for us. It is also my favorite one. And when I just, brought the plate to the table to this guest, he looked a little bit, disappointed. And I asked him, "Sir, everything is fine." He told me, "Please, can you bring me some ketchup?"
No!
Gary, you can understand that I was disappointed about that. And he asked me also a cappuccino to drink. I told him, "No, sir, I'm so sorry, but we don't have any ketchup. We don't have any cappuccino here." It was just to save our tradition and our history about the food.
I understand the story, and I can understand, knowing you now, Emilio, the time I've known you, why you wouldn't have been so keen to serve him a cappuccino and some Heinz ketchup to put all over his beautiful spaghetti with mussels. Listen, it while you were telling that story, it kind of reminded me partly of the reason that when we first came up with the idea of doing these podcasts, it was for a bit of fun. It was so we could promote the region to the world, and so we could share our enthusiasm and love for the region. But you guys listening have a really unique opportunity here to absorb some of the information we're giving. We don't want to say we're educating you, because this isn't a school, but if you know in advance about primi and secondi and dolce and contorni and how these things work, we're both 150% sure that you will get much more out of the restaurant experience and your food and drink experience just by these little bits of knowledge. If you only remember 1 in 10 things that we talk about, your holiday and your experience here will be so much better than it would otherwise have been. And remember, when you come to eat, if you look at a menu and there's something on, and there's nothing on there that you like, you have two options. Take a chance on something you've never heard of, because the quality here, believe me, is second to none. And quite often I've ordered something not knowing what to expect, and I have never, ever been disappointed. So one option is be brave, be adventurous, and take a chance. Or if that's not really what you want to do, ask the chef if he can make something. Tell him what you like and say, "What would you recommend?" I found in my experience the best restaurants are the trattoria, where you get to meet the chef, and he recommends what to eat. And normally, I don't even bother with the menu. The chef will come, and I'll say, give me what's best for today, and trust me, it always is. Emilio, thank you so much for your input today. Hopefully now, something as simple as pasta, we all know a lot more about it, and there's lots to know about the history as well, but I want to thank you particularly for giving us your local and inborn knowledge of how these things work. And I want to thank you, the listener, for giving us your time again tonight. Remember, please make a comment if you've got any experiences or any funny stories, or if you want a name check, leave us a comment and we might say your story out in a future podcast. So thanks once again for listening. I'll hand you back over to Emilio, who will tell you a little bit about what's coming next. And thanks again. Buonasera a tutti.
I want to thank you, everybody, for listening. And remember to share your comments, your questions, and your feedback as well about this episode. And I want just to tell you that the next episode will be concerning about coffee and the cafe culture here in Puglia.